for the reading of God's Word, you can turn in your Bibles to the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew. Very familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew's Gospel, and chapter number 4. And we'll read from there. I'll tell you what I've done. I started this putting this message together, and I've decided to break it down, Lord willing, into two parts. And what my plans are, I'm just going to preach this morning until the time is gone, cut it off like unhooking a freight train, and then pick her right back up tonight from wherever I leave off. And Lord willing, I'll finish it out in the service tonight, God being my helper, okay? Matthew's Gospel and chapter number 4, and I want to begin reading in verse number 1. I know Brother Steve talked through this some time back, did a very fine job of it, and but I want to use it more or less in a different sort of a way this morning, probably than what he taught through it. You know, you'll never exhaust the Bible. I don't care how many times you go through it, you'll never exhaust it, and it's always fresh and renewed to our hearts every day, and it ought to be, and I want to thank the Lord so much for that. Chapter number 4 in Matthew's Gospel and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again. I just now saw something there that I've never seen before. It's not in my thoughts. I'm going to bring it out to you. Jesus has already mentioned, I know, the fact that he said one time, It is written. But the devil has made the statement also that made that same statement. He said in verse 6, that He saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. But the Bible said here, Jesus saith unto him, It is written again. The devil told him, said, It's written, cast thyself down. And said, For the Lord has given his angels charge concerning thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. But Jesus said, It is written again. And I believe what he's doing is contradicting what the devil said, or correcting what the devil said. Jesus said unto him, It is written again. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Sunday school time today. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God that's before us this morning, the opportunity we have to preach it. I pray you'll take it and bless it to our hearts, that you'll stir us, Lord, for revival. I pray you'll save sinners by the good grace of God. Ask you, Lord, to magnify yourself. We want to lift you up today. You have a name that is above every name. Thank God for the name of Jesus. We have to love you this morning because you loved us. Bless us with liberty and power and unction. Move upon every heart. Supply every need. Give grace where it's needed and divine help also. And we'll thank you for the blessings that we find in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You thank you, and you may be seated. I want to take these scriptures and preach this morning and tonight both, possibly, Lord willing, and preach to you for a little while on this thought of the Christian's greatest weapon. The Lord says repeatedly in these verses, "It is written." And so I want to take that and preach for a little while on the Christian's greatest weapon. And I believe it is to be our greatest weapon. I'll point that out in just a little while. But as God's people today, I do, I hope you do, I believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God. Now, it's not to say that there's not been Bibles before the King James that were just as authorized as it is. King James Bible didn't get here until 1611, but the Word of God has forever been settled in heaven. There never was a time the Word of God was not. And as the Bible began to be written, it was revealed to man through first the prophets and then the apostles and the pastors and the teachers and the New Testament. But we believe today that the Bible to be the King James Version that we have before us today. And to us, we believe that the Bible is infallible. I believe that it is immutable. I believe that it is inerrant. I don't believe there's a mistake in it anywhere. I don't believe you'll find one. People think they have found mistakes. But you know, to interpret the Bible, you've got to rightly divide it. And you've got to compare Scripture with Scripture. There is no Scripture of any private interpretation. And to interpret it correctly, you've got to compare Scripture with Scripture. Now, God has given it to you and us that as He Himself did, so may we use it to fight all of our battles. It is our sword of the Spirit. That's the verse of Scripture that I used in the bulletin this morning, out of the book of Ephesians. Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is our sword of the Spirit. And you know, when David went to battle with Goliath, he took five smooth stones, the Bible said, out of a brook. But he took one of those stones and put it in a sling. And with that one stone, the Bible said that he took it and hit Goliath, and Goliath fell forward to the ground. Now, some wonder, and I myself, if he was really dead at that particular moment. Because I do know that David did go and stand upon Goliath and took Goliath's own sword and cut his head off with it. And then later in David's life, when he was fleeing from Saul and went to the house of the priest, he was looking for something to eat and looking for a weapon. And the priest told him, said, there's only one sword here, and that is the sword that you took from Goliath. And David made this statement. He said, "Give it me, for there is no other sword like that sword." And I will say to you this morning, there is no other sword like this sword. There is no other book like the Word of God. It is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart of man. And like Miss Hall sang a while ago, every promise in this Bible is true. You can stand on that. If I didn't believe that, I'd quit preaching. But we can stand on what God has said in this book. As our Lord did, why shouldn't you and I? Repeatedly, He made the statement, "It is written." And He used that as His divine weapon. And if He used it as a weapon against the devil, how much more should you and I use it as a weapon against the devil today? It's the greatest weapon that we have at our disposal is the Word of God. And we'd be wise to learn it, that we might know how to use it and do battle with it, because there's going to come a time, if there hasn't in your life, that you're going to have to do battle with the devil, and there's only one weapon that's going to stand against him, and that is the infallible, inerrant Word of Almighty God. If you remember, also, David had a mighty man named Eleazar. And the Philistines had came up and put themselves in array against the people of Israel. But Eleazar took a sword and he fought against them. In fact, the Bible said that he fought so long that sword clave unto his hand. And he wrought a great victory for the people of God that day. And you know, there ought to never be a moment that we let the Bible slip from our hand. It is our sword of the Spirit. He claimed that Bible until he was, that sword until he was weary. And you and I ought to do the same. He got weary, but he never got so tired that he laid it down. And I'm going to say, the day we lay down the Bible, we're in trouble. The day we stop believing the Bible, we're in trouble. The day we stop using the Bible, we're in trouble. It is our weapon, our choice weapon, against the devil himself. Now, it's our battle axe. It's the battle axe that we use. It's the greatest weapon of war that you and I possess today. And the reason is because, and there's a few I want to point out this morning, to begin with, it was our Lord's chosen weapon. If you'll notice, He had a great choice. Our Lord had a great choice of weapons with which to fight Satan when He came to Him there in the wilderness of temptation. But He took none but the sword of the Spirit. Repeatedly, He said, "It is written." Now, I'm not trying to spiritualize, but I want you to stay with me just a moment. It would have been easy for our Lord to have called He could have overcome Satan by angelic force. In fact, the Bible said that He could have prayed the Father, and the Father would presently have sent Him 12 legions of angels. And I'm going to say something, friend. I don't know of any power on earth that can stand against an angelic being. Our Lord had that ability to do that. He was God in flesh. It wouldn't have been a problem at all for Him to have called 12 legions of angels, as He could have on the cross, to do battle against the devil. But He didn't do that. He used what God had given Him at His disposal, which was the Word of God. It is written. So He could have called an angelic force to have fought His battle for Him. I want to say also, He could have excused His Godhead. There's no question about it. A simple word would have sent the tempter back to the furnace of fire where he belongs. All it would have taken is just one word for that to do that. And He could have sent him back. There's no question about that. If He would have just used the power of His Godhead. But He did not do that. He was 100% God. But He was also 100% man. And He took that Bible, took the Word of God, it is written, it is written, it is written over repeatedly to defeat the devil. And was able to do that. Now this teaches you and I as a church we're never to call in the aid of force or to use carnal weapons. But we're to trust in the omnipotent, which dwells alone in the sure testimonies of God. May I say to you, that Bible is sure today. Amen. That Bible is the eternal rock of ages. And we can stand upon it. And stand upon its promises and its truth. And do battle with it. Put your fingers to war in the battle, in the Bible. And learn to use it as an instrument of war against the devil. He cannot stand against it. You'll find later that the Lord, in using the Bible, put the devil to flight. And He had to depart from him. And I'm going to tell you, if we'll resist the devil, he'll flee from us. But how do we resist him? Not by our own power, not by any other carnal force, but by the Word of God and the Word of God. And that's all we have. Now, I know we can pray. I understand that. But the bottom line of it is, we're going to have to learn to use the Word of God. Now, our Lord could have defeated the tempter by unveiling His own glory. All He had to done was unveiled that glory that was hidden in the humility of His flesh, and the devil would have melted in His tracks. But He didn't do that. He stayed in the humility of His flesh to prove to you and I that as He overcome, we might overcome also. And I want to say that the brightness of His divine majesty was hidden within the humility of His manhood. And He had lifted if He had lifted the veil for just a moment, the fiend of hell would have utterly been confounded as a bat or an owl is trying to fly into the sun. You realize a bat and an owl cannot look into the sun? They're night creatures. They can't look into the sun. Now I'm telling you, the devil could not have stood the glory, all the glory of the Lord Jesus had he stood one moment, unveiled his glory that was covered by his flesh, the devil would have had to fled. But he didn't do that. He used the word of God. Turn these stones into bread. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Cast yourself down. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Fall down and worship me. It is written again that man shall worship the Lord, and the Lord God only shall he serve. Now, I want to say secondly, this weapon was used at the outset of his ministry. His public ministry had not yet gotten underway. But though his young hand had never yet been tried in public warfare, he grasped the weapon made ready for him and boldly said, it is written. He'd never been out in the public ministry, I don't believe, and showed how he could battle the devil in public ministry. But in his own private ministry, he still was able, as a young man, at the outset of his life, his public ministry, he learned to use the Word of God. I want to say something. We got any young converts in here this morning? You better learn how to use that Bible. Stay in that Bible. Get in a nook with a book and learn what that Bible has got to say. Hey, it's defense and it's offense for a child of God. And learn how to use it. It's a wonderful weapon, the choicest weapon that we have to do battle against the devil. And so we need to learn how to use that Word of God. Now, notice with me. He boldly said, it is written, this blessed two-edged sword can be used to purpose the young convert as well as someone that's illiterate, someone that is simple-minded, someone that is weary, someone that is feeble, someone that is tried, people that are tempted in any way. This Bible is what we want to use. Are you tempted to sin? Turn to the Bible. There's a promise you can find that will enable you to depart from that sin. Flee youthful lust. Are you being tried? Flee to the Bible. There is scripture there that will help you overcome that trial. Is the devil got his ugly nose in your face? Has he poked his ugly head into your family? Has he stuck his nose into your private life and your personal life? Has he tried to defame your character or tear you down or discourage or destroy you in any way? Get into that Bible. I'm telling you, it is a defense and an offense that you and I can use to thwart the fiery darts of the devil with, that he cannot overcome it, ladies and gentlemen. At the Word of God, at God's Word, the devil must obey. Brother, I'll tell you, when he sinned against God in heaven and said, I'm going to sin above the Most High, the Lord said, no, you're not. And I'm going to tell you, at the Word of God, he had to depart from heaven. God cast him down with the fallen angels. You can say amen right there. He has no power whatsoever over the Word of God. And so we need to learn to use that Word of God. Now, our Lord used this weapon when no man was near. May I say to you that he was alone with the devil. There was nobody else there. He was alone with Satan. Now, that'd be to you and I, to me, I don't know about you, but to me, that'd be a frightening situation to find myself alone with the devil. But being alone with the devil, that Bible is what that word is what he used. And the Holy Scripture is not only suited for public teaching like I'm doing today, but it's also when the Lord's servant, and not just preachers, but God's people, I might say, are enduring personal trials alone in that wilderness of temptation, it is the Bible that you want to use. And hey, and a lot of your battles are going to have to be fought alone. Nobody else can fight your battle for you. You'll catch that by slow freight after a while. I can get up here and preach to you and encourage you if I can. If you'll let me, I can. I can get up here and preach the Bible to you and tell you what the Bible says. Your friends can encourage you if they will. But I'm going to tell you the bottom line of it is that you're going to have to fight your battles alone. You and the Word of God. You and Jesus. You and the Word of God. And the Lord was all there all alone. And repeatedly, He used that word, it is written. He used it over and over again. And you and I can use that word over and over again too. The Scripture, hey, God gives us that Scripture not only to convince other men, but also to console and to defend and to sanctify your own soul. May I say to you that that Bible will do wonders within you. Now, I'm telling you, I'm amazed at how the Bible works on the inside of man. Boy, I want to say that again. It amazes me how the Word of God can work on our heart, on the inner man, and transform us from a sinful creature into a creature of light, into a child of God, wash us, bathe us, cleanse us by the washing of the water of the Word of God, and make us clean creatures with the ability to serve God. Give us the power to overcome the world. And what is it that overcometh this world? Even our faith. Hey, where does faith come from? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to tell you why there's so many worldly Christians today. Because they're not in the Word of God. I'm going to tell you why we're so carnal today. We're not in the Word of God. I'm going to tell you why the flesh is destroying us today. We're not in the Word of God. I'm going to tell you why the devil has got us on the run today. It's because we're not in the Word of God. We need to be like Eleazar and take our stand with the sword of the Spirit against the devil and all the imps of hell and stand flat-footed on God's ground and fight. And I'll guarantee you, God will deliver us. One of God's men stood in that pen, in that. Can you believe that one of them stood in a patch of lentils and fought the Philistines? You know what lentils are? They're beans. Brother, I'm going to tell you, it must have been a Mexican. That's all they eat, beans. But beans are pretty valuable to them, but they're pretty valuable to me too. I kind of like them. He stood in that lentil patch and fought with the sword of the Spirit. Defended it with the sword of the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, you and I can do the same. I want to say, fourthly, our Lord used this weapon under the most trying circumstances. Now get a hold of this. He was alone, but the Word was a man of His right hand. No one was there, but thank God for that Word that was there. When the devil come to Him when he was hungry, said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something, children. We take a real lesson from that. We don't live. Man just does not live by worldly possessions. Man lives by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. It's not just a fleshly life that we're interested in. That's a spiritual book. We're to be spiritual people. We're interested in a spiritual life. Somebody say amen. And that is the only book I know that can really feed our spiritual soul is the Word of God, the copy of the Word of God. Amen. Say amen right there. Now, he was hungry and tempted to turn stones into bread. Yet the words, it is written, held the wolf of hunger at bay. And the word fed our champion. Now I'm going to tell you something. That word will feed you and I also. We sang that song this morning. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. I'm going to say, the problem is, I don't know whether we come to eat or not. I don't really know whether we've got an appetite for the Word of God or not. The Bible said if we'll hunger and thirst after righteousness, we'll be filled. And I don't know if we've got that hunger or not. I don't know if we've got that thirst or not, but I know one thing. If we'll go to that Bible, whether we're alone at home or in the house of God, we'll go to that Bible with a hungry soul and a hungry spirit. God will feed us and nourish our souls in the Bible. He'll strengthen us from the Word of God. Say amen right there. Got a lot of anemic Baptists today in our churches. Anemic. Because we don't know the Bible. That's right. We think we know it. We've not scratched the surface yet. God help us. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Now, he was placed. I said the weapon was most trying circumstances. He was placed by our adversary in a place of great danger. He took him high on the pinnacle of the lofty house of God. And yet the Lord stood and needed no sure foothold than the word of God supplied him with, and that it is written. From the dizzy and lofty heights of the pinnacle of that temple, he stood on sure ground without fear of falling. Now, I'm going to tell you what, we might stand in some slippery places. David said he had. David said, I've been in some slippery places. But he said, my feet held securely. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Lord, because of the Word of God, stood on the pinnacle of the temple, but he stood in a sure place without fear. And sometimes our standing may be small. We may be in a small, the devil may get us in a small area. Can you not get a hold of anything I'm saying? The devil might get us in a small area. He might put the squeeze on us and put us in a place where we're nigh on falling. One mistake might plummet us to our spiritual destruction. But I'm going to tell you, if we will rely on that book, we can stand on places that we never dreamed we could stand on, and stand in places we never dreamed that we could stand in, simply by trusting that word. It is written. The Lord, the devil said, you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. I'm sure the Lord looked down around and at what was below him and looked at the devil and said, it's written. It's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He didn't presume upon him. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, that's right. Somebody say amen. Help me out a little bit. And we ought to be the same. We ought to be the same. We ought not to tempt the Lord our God either. When the devil whispers little sweet nothings in our ear, well, test God. We got it backwards. The devil put you know what the devil was saying? Why don't you cast yourself down and test God and see if he'll really do what he says he'll do? We got it backwards. We don't test God. God tries us. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, we don't win the battle by casting ourselves down and presuming upon God. That's what happened to the nation of Israel. When they come to Kadesh Barnea and could have went into the promised land. And Moses sent out the spies and they came back and they told a lie and they wasn't going in. The next day Moses pronounced judgment. God pronounced judgment upon that crowd. And they said, oh no, wait a minute. Said, we'll obey the Lord, we'll go. And Moses said, it's too late. It's too late. But you know they went in anyway. And when they went in, they were defeated. And they were defeated because they presumed upon the Lord. They just knew that if God told them yesterday to go into the land, that it would be all right to say no yesterday, but say yes today. But I'm going to say something to you. It wasn't all right. And it may not be all right for you and I either to say no yesterday, but say yes tomorrow. We better be careful of that. And I'm going to tell you something else. Sinners better be careful of that. Saying no today and yes tomorrow. No today may mean no tomorrow also in the eyes of God. Amen. We cannot presume upon the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. That book says it is written. It's amen. Help me out a little bit. Amen. Now, he was hungry. He He was placed by our adversary in a place of great danger. But the word, "it is written," enabled him to look down and take his stand against the devil. He was placed also where the kingdoms of the world stretched beneath his feet, which had often dazzled great men's eyes and driven them on to destruction. There have been a lot of men that's looked down at the beauties of the world and it's destroyed them. At what, looking at what gain they can have in this world. There was a fellow in the Word of God that said, "I know what I'm going to do." He said, "I'm going to, got my barns full, so what am I going to do?" He was greedy, wasn't he? Selfish, wasn't he? He said, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear them down and build bigger barns. Then I'm going to fill up them bigger barns. Then I'm going to take my ease and eat and drink and be merry." And the Lord said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Now, I'm going to tell you something about that man. I'm not so sure that that man is not that rich young ruler that came to the Lord. And the Lord told him to go sell all of his possessions, come take up his cross. And he said, he went away sorrowful. And the Lord said, the Bible said the Lord loved him very much. I'm not so sure that's not the same man. And I'm not so sure that's not the same man that we find in Luke 16 that eventually died. And the Bible said he died. And in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. He said no to the Lord here and tried to say yes somewhere else. And God said, "No, you've already said no here. We ain't saying yes over here." What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying when God says yes, we better take him at his word. It is written, ladies and gentlemen. It is written. That's right. Now, in the world's, so many people want to look at the world's, and it's driven them to destruction. But it is written, swept aside the snares of ambition and laughed at the fascination of power. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of folks. What do you think these men are running for president for? I just read yesterday where one of our presidential candidates, are you ready for this? In 1 month, raised $181 million. 1 month to run for president. I don't know how much the other one ran. That'd last me and Brother Leroy a long time, wouldn't it, Brother Leroy? That'd feed a whole lot of us for a whole long time, wouldn't it? I'm going to tell you know what they're doing? They're fascinated by the power that they have being president. And they're ambitious. They've got an ambition to be something, and they'll pay anything to get what they want. But not the Lord. The devil said, "All this will I give you if you just fall down and worship me." And the Lord said, I don't need your power. I'm not ambitious. I'm here to serve God. The Bible said, "It is written, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And I'm going to tell you, and he told the devil, "Get thee hence from me." And the devil had nothing to do but to flee from the Lord. Because he used the word of God. Amen. It is written. It is written. Swept aside the snares of ambition and left the fascination of power. Regardless of where he was, in the desert, on the temple peak, or in the highest mountain, no change in his mode of warfare was required. I don't care where you are. It'll never change. It's always, it is written. It's always a word of God. It's always the Word of God, no matter where you're at, whether it's in the valley, the mountaintop, whether you're alone, whether you're in the house of God, whether you're at work, whatever you may be doing, whether you're tempted, tried, troubled, brokenhearted, grieved. We've got people in here today. And I've said so many times, Brother Andy, and we saw the brokenness in Brother Andy's voice. But I don't know what the outcome, and I'm not going to lie to him. I don't know what the outcome is going to be for him on the 11th. He doesn't know what the outcome is. But I'm going to tell you who does know the outcome. There's one in heaven that knows the outcome. And there's one in heaven that's filled this book with great, the Bible says, great and precious promises. And I can say this on the authority of that book, that Brother Andy and Miss Cheryl can stand on what God has said. And it'll be true. Somehow, some way, all things will work together for good. Because they love the Lord. And they're the called according to His purpose. I think today about Brother Ricky and Miss Kelly. The loss of their child. I went to that hospital and sat in that little room with him that night. When that doctor brought that little baby in that room wrapped in that blanket. And I felt so sorry for them. What could I do? What could I say? I could say, God will help you. That's real comforting, isn't it? I could say, God will take care of you. That's real comforting, isn't it? I can say, God will bless you. God knows what's going on. That's real comforting, isn't it? I can say all these things. But I'm going to tell you, we're like Job's friends. We're all miserable comforters. But I'm going to tell you, there is a divine comforter who is able to comfort us in all of our troubles, wherewith we are able to comfort them also who are in such trouble. There is one comforter that's called alongside to help. And I'm going to tell you, there is a Bible that God's given us that is full of promises that we can stand on. And hey, we don't understand. I don't understand why Miss Amanda and Miss Becky's stepmother was taken at 48 years old. I saw a picture of her in the Messenger, and I told my wife, I said, boy, wasn't she a beautiful woman? And she was. And why the Lord took her at 48 plus years old is beyond me. I don't know. Why God, but I do know one thing. They can still stand on this book and the promises that it has. It's never, hey, I guarantee you there have been a lot of God's children that stood on it. And I don't know one of them that sunk. As Peg said, when the waves are over your head, when you're on rock bottom, you're still on the rock. That's what the primitive said, I believe. When the waves are over your head, they're still under His feet. What a great God we have. And we can stand on those promises in the Bible. Devil will try to tell you today, what's the use? I don't know what the devil's telling some of you right now. Oh, the church is so slow. We're so dry. It's so dead. Sure, he's telling you that. You don't have to ad lib nothing. I mean, I can tell. I know. I'm up here trying to preach. I know what it's like. And the devil can feed us all that lying all he wants to. But I've done read the last chapter in the book, folks. And my Bible tells me that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God, and it won't. Now, I don't know how God's going to bring this out in the end, but I know somehow in the end God's going to bring us out because He said He was, and He will. That's one of the promises we have in that book. Gates of hell ain't going to prevail against God's church. He didn't say it wouldn't get dry. He didn't say that we wouldn't get a little dead. But I'll tell you what He did say. Though we walk in the midst of troubles, He'd revive us. I'll tell you what He did say. Revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee. I'll tell you what Jacob said when he saw the wagons with all the good things loaded from Egypt. The Bible said his spirit came again and revived. I'm going to tell you what happened to that little boy that Elijah breathed upon. His spirit came again, and he revived. Are you listening? He was dead. But God sent revival. You hear what I'm saying to you? We talk a lot about Daniel going when he heard the decree made about worshiping. Nobody but Nebuchadnezzar went to that window as he did every three times every day as he had often done and prayed. You know why I was going to that window? That window was pointed towards Jerusalem. You know what he was standing on? The promise that God gave to Solomon. That if our enemy takes us to a foreign land, if we will look to this city and pray that God will deliver us. Daniel believed that. And you look, hey, you look down through the list, and I believe it's Nehemiah or Ezra 1, of those that went back into Jerusalem to rebuild it, and Daniel is there, ladies and gentlemen. He learned by words that their captivity would be 70 years. I don't know how old he was then. I don't know how old he lived. But I'll guarantee he was young enough when he heard it was only going to be for 70 years. He probably, don't say this now, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if he didn't have a shouting spell. Because he probably just thought in his mind, I just may live long enough to see that day come to pass. And hey, he did see it come to pass. You know what the devil's told some of you and me too and about everybody else? You ain't going to make it alive in the rapture. You're going to die like everybody else. You're going to the grave. Well, I might. You might. We might walk through the veil, but I know one thing. If I do die before the rapture, I've got one promise that the dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm going to get up before the rest of you do. Say amen right there. Now I'm going to tell you something else I'll have. I'll have victory over the grave that some others won't have. Oh, grave, where is thy sting? I'll have victory over that grave. I'll have something somebody else won't have. That goes into rapture before death. But we've all got that promise. That he's coming again. And, oh, hey, it is written. When the devil tells you and I, you ain't going to heaven, it is written. When the devil tells you you're not saved, it is written. You cannot stand on your ideologies. You cannot stand on your feelings. We're not saved by ideologies and feelings. We're saved by thus saith the Word of God. That he that believeth on the Son hath life. That's a weapon. That's the weapon. And I could go over and repeat over and over again. There are so many places in it. So many places in it that God shows that we have the victory. Because we've got a weapon that can defeat the devil. You better believe it. He's a rascal. If you want my honest opinion of him, he's a sorry egg sucker. And he sucks big eggs, too. Got long straws to put in them. Well, you think they call him the devil? Because he's a devil. Satan, Lucifer, son of the morning. Deceiver. He's crafty. He sets snares and he digs pits. But by the word of God, God will deliver us from those. God will direct us around those. God will direct our path by the Bible. He leadeth me beside still waters. He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. You know why? For the Lord is my shepherd. We're not desirous of things because we shall not want. God will supply all of our need. I saw a thing on Fox yesterday. I wanted to shout a little bit. And after our last night in that motel, I might start shouting when I want to. Sounded to me like it's having a football game up on the floor up above us. But I saw where some little girls, and I don't go along with what they was doing. I don't agree with it. But they were in college ball. And these girls had built a little old banner that said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Somebody in that town throwed a little up in Wisconsin, didn't even live in Texas, throwed a tizzy fit, some atheist. They're atheists from the teeth out. I'm telling you, when the death angel sweeps across their brow, that bunch of idiots are going to know better. They said, oh, you can't have that. You're mixing religion with government. You can't. That's not to be. But a federal judge stepped in and said, let them have their sign. It's all right. Amen. Now, you may not agree with the
football team. But one thing I agree with is that banner.
Amen.
It was the Word of God.
Amen.
And you cannot deny that that Word on there, that my God shall supply all my need, according to His riches and glory of Christ Jesus. You know what defeated that group of atheists? That Scripture.
Amen.
Somebody said, I thought it was the judge. Oh, the judge said the Word, but the judge said the Word because of what the Word told the judge. Well, sure, a lot of people don't even realize it, but they're controlled by what the Bible says. People, oh, I'm in control of my own life. Boy, I hope not. If you are, you're on a collision course with something you don't want to hit, friend. That book will guide us into all truth. You'll know the truth and it'll make you free. Hey, did it not make the Lord free when He said, it is written, it is written, it is written, and the devil departed from him. And the Bible said angels came and ministered unto him. Now, Lord, being my helper tonight, I'm going to finish this. I got to where I wanted to get to a little sooner. I planned to go one more page. Then I changed my mind this morning and said, I'm going this far. I'm going to cut it off. That's where I'm going to cut it off. Let's stand together.